All right, we're continuing our no-fault reality tour around the state, talking about auto no-fault and the changes that have been signed into law. Tomorrow, by the way, we'll be at the Specialty Rehabilitation Center in Troy, Michigan, talking to some folks in person there. My next guest has seen it up front. Teresa Stokes lives in Warren. She's the mother of Jennifer, and Jennifer was catastrophically injured in a car crash in October of 2011. Her daughter sustained a spinal cord injury, a crushed pelvis, ruptured kidney, liver, colon, fractured orbital wall on the right side, broken ribs, a collapsed lung, and she's paralyzed from the chest down with minimal use of her hands. And as a result of all of that, Teresa had to quit her job to care for her daughter, and now big change is coming, and it's going to create challenges, to say the least. Teresa Stokes, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So good to have you here. So Michigan wanted, some people in Michigan wanted to reform the auto no-fault insurance, and have long claimed that the no-fault system is an open checkbook and accident victims get whatever they want, but I suspect it's not exactly the case. What has been your experience since your daughter's injury?
Well, as far as auto insurance goes, they do deny a lot of medical bills, leaving me to deal with a lot of bill collectors. Going back and forth, is this auto-related, not auto-related? Eventually, it gets sorted out, and they do pay for it, but I could spend easily up to 10 hours a week on hold on the phone with bill collectors. They refuse to pay for a lot of things I feel they should be paying for. For example, I asked them if they would pay for transportation so Jennifer could attend a family member's funeral, and they refused.
So how does
she's not entitled?
How does she get around then? I mean, obviously this is a challenge. You had to quit your job to take care of her.
We don't right now. We had a rental van, and they took the rental van back in the beginning of February. So we have transportation service now. So unless it's a medical appointment, Jennifer's not entitled to go anywhere.
Homebound.
Pretty much prisoner in our own home.
Right. And at one point it was covered under the insurance, and now it's not. So going forward, though, we know that as a result of the governor signing this bill, agencies are going to have to accept 55% of what was allowed previously for payment. What is that going to do?
That's going to take away. She goes to a sheltered work program because she tries her best to be a functional, productive member of society. She'll lose her job. She'll lose all of her therapies. Her physical therapy keeps her upper body strong, with her arms and such.
Sure.
She'll lose that. She'll lose her. She has massage therapy for hands because they cramp up all the time. Rec therapy so that she can at least get out of the house to do what you and I do take for granted every day. She'll lose all of that. Those companies will not be able to stay in business.
So what would have happened in the beginning to you and to your daughter if there hadn't been the no-fault insurance plan in place to begin with? What would have happened?
Honestly, I don't believe Jennifer would be alive today. When you go to a hospital, one of the first questions you're asked is, what insurance is this? And when you say Medicare, you kind of fall to the back of the line. And with the auto, she was, entitled to some of the best doctors. She underwent 60 surgeries.
60.
She's 60.
Yeah.
She's doing phenomenal. If you've seen her, people see her and they, like, why are you in a wheelchair? Because she looks so good and she speaks well and she functions well. She wouldn't be in that position if it wasn't for the auto no fault.
So what do you think the future holds for you? I mean, this is not some theory for you. This is your life, right? I mean, this is not something that might happen to somebody somewhere. This happened to you. This is your life. So what do you think the future holds with all the changes to no fault?
Honestly, the future is pretty grim. Once all this goes through and goes into effect, she's going to lose everything. I'll lose everything. I mean, I can't, 56 hours, family's allowed 56 hours of care for her. you can't pay all your bills and everything on 56 hours of more than likely minimum wage. And there's not going to be a group home for her to go to because they're not going to be in business. She's going to be forced into a nursing home that has no idea nor the capability of taking care of a catastrophic victim. So she wound up dying. I mean, it's just heartbreaking to think about, but I can't. I'm a logical person. I'm thinking about every logical way I can, and that just is the end result. She's not going to get the care that she needs and deserves.
How old is she?
She's 33. She's been through, you know, 8 years of pure hell. And now with this new auto law, she's going to be going through even worse. I mean, she's been through so many rough times, and just, you know, the thought of this is my future isn't much of a future to look forward to.
So what would you say to Governor Whitmer or the lawmakers that put this plan forward that you are about to start dealing with? What would you say to them if you had the opportunity?
My perspective is nobody expects to get into an accident. Nobody leaves their home like, I'm going to get in a catastrophic auto accident. You could be the best driver in the world, and the guy behind you, the guy next to you could be on his cell phone, a distracted driver, and bam. My daughter was minding her own business, coming home from the gym. Never expected this to happen. And you deserve to have the best care. You deserve the life that the guy next to you has, a fighting chance. And with these new auto laws, nobody has a chance. You'll get the bare minimum of medical care. You'll get no rehab whatsoever. And then you'll be put into a nursing home if there's even any availabilities. Or you'll just pretty much rot. No, there's not going to be staff there that's trained to take care of catastrophic victims.
Teresa, you've been through a lot, and I appreciate you sharing your story here. It's a lot, but we certainly hope that things improve as far as the outlook goes. We'll see what happens. But Teresa Stokes, thank you for sharing your story.
Oh, you're welcome.
There you have it. So if you want a reality check, there it is. If you want a reality check of what it's like to really deal with a catastrophic care situation caused by an automobile accident, there it is. So if you ever wonder, you know, what's at stake here? A lot. A lot's at stake. So when you buy your auto insurance, keep that in mind. When you buy your car insurance, keep that in mind. Quick break. You're listening to The Steve Gruber Show. It's Monday.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, celebrating 60 years of being the leading voice for business.
I'm Bob Thomas, Chief Operating Officer for the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. All across the state, businesses have joined the Michigan Chamber to be a part of the most influential business voice in Lansing. As a member, companies become part of a statewide network of small business, medium-sized companies, and industry leaders focused on improving pro-business legislation within state government. For the past 60 years, the Michigan Chamber has delivered powerful advocacy and business solutions on behalf of our 6,000 members, representing 1 million employees across the state. As a member-driven organization, we keep our members at the center of all that we do. Together, we can make a difference, and together, we ensure Michigan is the best place to create jobs and support free enterprise.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce today at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the leading voice for business, moving Michigan forward. Elected officials in Michigan broke their promise for a transparent, balanced process when it came to reforming auto insurance. They passed a bill in the middle of the night which had no public hearings and no fiscal analysis. Worse yet, it created many new problems while failing to address the real issues. Insurance companies can still discriminate. Rehab, therapy, and other providers may be forced to close. And there will certainly be more lawsuits. Tell your elected officials they need to fix this. Learn more at miautoinsurancepromise.com. Car insurance in Michigan is a problem not yet solved. Insurance companies can still discriminate. Rehab, therapy, and other providers may be forced to close, and there will certainly be more lawsuits. Tell your elected officials they need to fix this. Learn more at miautoinsurancepromise.com. Thousands of jobs across the state of Michigan may be lost due to some recent changes in the auto insurance system. If you think Michigan's elected officials should be doing what they can to lower insurance premiums without closing businesses, learn more at miautoinsurancepromise.com.